All right, let's move forward. And I continue and take out your document. Repeat after me, scriptural comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural
comprehensions
of measures.
The
matrix.
Also, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Let's turn to, as our base scripture this morning, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, we shall focus off of verse 12. In the document, I want to go through this morning a few of the glossary of definitions.
Amen.
That would be on page 2. And for those that are viewing us, are either listening to us on the website, this document is found. There's an icon that basically gives you the link to this document. Covered your prayers this morning. So we're laboring under some infirmities. In these glossaries of definitions, and these will not be in the order that they are listed, look at the word authentic. Brother Deacon, tell us what that is.
The word authentic means reliable, dependable, accurate, faithful, and affirmable.
That which is reliable. All right. As I said, these are not in the order they are listed. Artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence. Mechanized imitation of knowledge.
You see the difference? And we shall see this morning that one is spiritual, and the other one is physical. If it's authentic, it's really in the essence, even though we look at things and we said they are authentic. The word reliable there, faithful and affirmable, places such in the sphere of spirituality rather than physicality. The opposite of that is mechanized imitation of knowledge, and this is what artificial intelligence is. Drop down to the next word, and you will hear this word a lot, and you will continue to hear it even more in this era of election. No, you won't hear this word, but you'll hear what this word actually conveys. Entropies. Everybody say entropies.
Entropies.
I want you to know what an entropy is.
Entropies. Systems of consistent disorders.
Sounds like the political scene, doesn't it? Amen. But everything in physicality is moving from order to disorder. Everything in this life is deteriorating. Everything in this life is wasting away. Everything. And we notice here the word system means that it is something that is organized. So that this order is ordered. It's ordered. It's ordered. You look out and you see this order. You never think that God is not in control. The devil is running rampant. These are the kind of things that we hear. You know. And that God's got his hands full trying to keep things together. System of disorder. There's order to the disorder. Because the disorder was ordered. The next word is functionality. Everybody said functionality.
Functionality. The process of how an entity operates.
Process of how things operate. We shall deal with this extensively this morning as we look into the functionality of the matrix. The next word is grid.
Grid, a network system of associations or groups arranged for representations.
Now, that defines the matrix. Everybody said the matrix. What is the matrix?
Matrix is visual representation or indications in grids and or patterns of measurements for testimonial documentations only.
Therefore, reason. What you see in the matrix, listen to me this morning. What you see in the matrix of what we call life, everything is there for purpose. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
Let's skip to a word that I want us to become familiar with that is many times associated with confusion, and that is the word at the top of the next page, page 3, maze. What is maze?
Maze is a web or network of confusion or entangled disorder.
See that word network there? Network is something that is laid out and arranged.
Hallelujah.
Now, here somebody's going to say... confusion? The Bible said God is not the author of confusion. He's not. God's not confused. We're confused because we are dependent upon what we see in the matrix. And the matrix is about representation. Indications of the grids and patterns of measurements, but they're there for purpose. Testimonial documentations. They're there for a reason. Our confusion comes in us not recognizing that the things of life are there for a reason. Everybody said purpose.
Purpose. Reason. Yes.
The next word, parameter. Everybody said parameter.
Parameter.
What is that, Brother Deacon?
Parameter, the limit, restriction, or boundary.
You notice? It said limit. In the matrix, everything is limited. Everything is limited to God's purpose for it.
Come on here.
It is more about what God's purpose is than what it purports to represent on its own. Nothing is there of its own. It showed up because God has a purpose for. Oh, you all don't hear me this morning.
I hear you. Purpose. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank God.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be there.
Amen.
And that's the only reason it is there. And as soon as its purpose is fulfilled, it's gone. It's gone. Somebody said, well, this has been here a long time. Amen. Who sets the limits?
God.
God. This is something that we've got to come to comprehend. As Deacon Gavin was reading the pastor's pen a minute ago, sometimes we forget who is the creator.
I hear you.
Hallelujah. We forget who's the boss.
Yes, man. Yes. Quick.
We forget who has arranged the agenda.
Amen.
And because we don't understand, and because our focus and our aims, our aspirations, our expectations are in the matrix instead of the decree.
Yeah.
We're confused.
Amen.
One more. And that is at the bottom of the page, the word virtue. Everybody said virtue.
Virtual.
Near or practical representation or indication.
Which means that what you're looking at is what is there to give you some reputation, some representation rather, indication of what's practical in your mind, or what's near in your mind. But that's not the essence of it.
No, it's not. Amen.
Yes. Thank
you. I think of last summer and the family was at our family reunion, and we went on an outing, and we ended up at a theater. You know, the kind you go in and you put on the 3D glass, you know, and I mean, it was amusement facility, so the place was full. The theater was full. A floor to ceiling screen, and of course, as soon as we put on those goggles, I call them goggles. They started spraying a mist on us. And what was on the screen was like we were in a canoe. Going down the river. Then all of a sudden, the representation was that we got to a waterfall. And the thing dropped, and everybody went, whoo! And my stomach went, whoo! Now, with the problem I got, I snatched those. I'll end this right now. I mean, why should I be taking my stomach through that when it's not real? That's what's happening in the matrix. A little later, they went up to another event, and it was one of those you go inside the theaters and they have all of this, these different, they have monsters and everything, supposedly, jumping out at you and everything. And I noticed that, of course, we live in a very, litigious society. There was people suing people, so they had notices up there. If you have a weak card, or any condition that you don't need to be excited about, please don't come in there. And of course, that's like a dare to some people, especially the young people. And I look at my grandsons. You said something like that to the young people, that's like a dare.
Amen.
Amen. So some people went in there, and I think some of them went in there. And I said, no, that's the trip I won't go on.
Amen.
Amen. And then after a while, we were standing outside. I said, you know what? I think we ought to clear the pathway that comes from that exit door. something just led me to say that. And so we moved, and sure enough, about a few minutes later, that door was flung open with force, and people were piling out of there. Fear. But that's what's happening to us in life. Remember, last week, I think let's go to page 9. You see, we must understand the functionality of the matrix.
All right.
Everybody say functionality of the matrix. And again, as we expressed in Bible study a couple of weeks ago, do not confuse God's process with his purpose. The process, basically how things are arranged, as we've gone through these definitions, and most of them deal with process. Virtuality is really paradoxical to reality. I should say reality is paradoxical to virtuality. Virtuality is representations. Virtuality is what we see in what we call life, the matrix. And see, when we say life, basically we're talking about what our eyes see and what our senses observe, and those things that are processed in our brain.
Right.
By the way, as we said the other week, our brains, the human brain, is programmed to receive false information. This is why we see colors, and then the shade of light change, and it's another color. Colors are components of the light, but the light itself has no color. Did you know that? I mean, we look around and we see the different colors in here this morning, and basically, it's all light. It's shades and angles that have conditioned our eyes to differentiate things based upon the angle. This is why an artist, if he's painting a picture and you go from light to shade, what happens to the color? It changes. Even if it's a darker red, It's a change in color. And so we must understand that virtuality is the representation of things in process are changing. What is real abides. What is authentic, isn't that what we just said, huh? It's reliable. If that thing is changing, it's not reliable. Brother Deacon, let's go to our text. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Now here Paul, for contextual sake, basically he speaks of having been comforted in this tribulation and the consolation that there is in such. And verse 9, he says, in all and our trials and tribulations, listen to me this morning, said we had the sentence of death. At least that's what the matrix conveyed to us. But remember, as we looked at another scripture in Romans chapter 8, I think it was last week or week before last, Paul conveys a litany of things, but the bottom line was nothing can separate me from the love of God. In the matrix of the things that we see, there are many things that threaten us, frighten us, disappoint us. There are many things that we see that frustrate us. Many of us are for long this morning. Some of us are just absolutely disappointed in life. And it's all based upon, listen to me, what we're looking at in the matrix.
Right.
Now here's the problem. The scripture is teaching us, according to 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, to not look at the thing that we see. We are not. What does that mean? It means that you're not doing it. But the thing what? Unseen. You have two spheres here. Listen to me. You have the physical sphere. That's where you get the virtuality.
Right.
And when we're looking through these eyes, I'll make that analogous to when I was sitting in that theater with those goggles on.
Right.
And so when you're looking at life through the eyes of sight of what you see, the only thing that's going to impress you is the thing that's before you. What does our contract say? You don't walk by what? No, you don't walk by what? You walk by what? Faith. Sight is the virtuality. Faith is the reality. You can fool me. This thing is wearing me out. No. Listen to me. Oh, my God. You know what? We're not going to follow what's in this book. Let's just rip the pages out. Just go on out there and just let life just beat you all up. Have the most miserable day that you can. And walk around in complete captivity to burdens. Oh, we can look into the Word of God and see the reality of things. Now, as Paul spoke of all of the litany of things, I think he said, I have been persuaded. In other words, God had fixed him from eternity that when he got to these things,
yes. Amen.
He could take the goggles off.
Yes,
take the 3D glasses off.
Yes. Thank God.
And see the reality of things in the sphere of eternality instead of physicality and secularity.
Glory to God. Thank God.
See our real life.
Yes, sir. Right.
What we call life is not real. Say, preacher, you're crazy. No. I'm speaking behind the Word of God. If it's real, it's abiding. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, why are we looking at the unseen? Because it's what? It's eternal. It doesn't change. It's immovable. It's unchangeable. It's unchallengeable. That's why. Now, if that's not true, we just go on out there and get with it. We're in election year, and there are people all up in the air and saying, you know, I look at the polls, and they're saying, you know, there's going to be a change in administration, and which means that the thing that we have been counting on, we're not going to get, and et cetera, so forth, and so on, so on. That depends upon what you've been counting on. No, really. I'm not trying to be. It depends upon what you're counting on. It depends upon what our expectations are. And see, when you look into the right sphere and the right medium, when you look into eternality, then death doesn't have the same connotation.
I hear you.
Life as we go through this life doesn't have the same connotation. From the beginning to the present to what's coming, our focus is not in the matrix in time mechanism of instruments of grids of how things are laid out and how they are being fed to us, amen, in virtuality. But our focus is always past that on what is real. Measured by what doesn't change and what's not challenged, which is in spirituality. Number one, many won't preach like this because they say, now, we don't know what you're talking about, and so forth and so on. And, oh, this is boring. You're way out there. And, of course, they have started, and they're going to continue to place the charge against us of being in mysticism. And of course, mysticism, anything, amen, that is really in the essence of mysticism is in the essence of physicality. Because many things that we call spiritual is physical. Supernatural is physical, not spiritual. All you've done is souped up the natural. It's still physical. But when we look into the reality of things, it causes us to have the testimony that none of this can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So what we're saying here is that, hey, nothing can upset our apricot. because we're not trusting in any of those things. Somebody said, well, who do you think will win the election? I said, it's already done. Why are we supposed to get out and do this, that, and the other? I'll make this statement right now, a policy statement. Anybody in here want to go join a political party, whether it's Republican or whether it's Democrat or whether it's the Green Party, if it's some party that Mr. Paul decided to form? you go through. I have no problem with you. Just don't bring that in here.
I hear you.
When we come in here, what's the subject?
Jesus.
We start out talking about Jesus. The whole time we're talking about Jesus. And when we get through talking about Jesus, guess what? It's time to go home. Because our man has been in, he stays in, can't be put out.
Amen.
And our focus is not on this little planet called Earth. It's like, ooh, Pastor, you really talking way out there. No. If we don't go by this word, let's just rip it out of here.
Amen.
Forget it. Even in the physical sense, this earth is a little dot.
Amen.
Revolving around the sun, which is a little dot.
Amen.
Which is in the Milky Way. When you look into the universe, the Milky Way, which is the galaxy we're in, it's a dot.
Amen.
So now how small is the planet that all of our focus is on? And the things that are supposedly happening. So we have to put these things in order.
Right.
These are processes.
Yes.
What turns the wheel is purpose. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
God's purpose.
Yes,
Now, when we get to verse 12, Brother Deacon, read that first from the King James. Everybody got it? Say amen. Everybody got it? Amen. Read.
We're reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 12th verse, King James Version. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity.
Yeah, I've heard that preached in. That's not what that Greek word means. But we'll get to it in Greek. Let's keep going.
That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly toward you.
And you notice it say, he puts in there when we get to the Greek, we'll see that basically goes into the in-depthness of where our focus is. Now, basically, you see in the King James where it says godly, it puts it just in front of sincerity, and it leaves simplicity there by itself. And so some preach, you see, the gospel should be simple. Make it simple. That's not what Paul was. Here, what we have outlaid here on these pages is volumes of truth of the mystery. And you're talking about simple? If it was simple, Peter wouldn't be saying it's hard to understand. The mystery comes by revelation. So this has nothing to do with simplicity. Let's go to the Greek.
Now 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12.
Are you with me? Are you with me?
Amen. Interlinear Greek text. For the boasting of us, this is the testimony of the conscience of us, because in sanctity and sincerity
that's still not the word there. Stop. Here, that Greek word is really translated singleness, which deals with focus, which speaks of where the sincerity, the genuineness of things actually abide. Here Paul is saying, focus on God.
All right.
I boast in. I rejoice in. Our comfort is when we focus on God.
Amen.
Amazing. You see, why do we exegete? Why do we take time and go through the 3-4 method of exegesis? Even as we read this. Now, sanctity, I could kind of go for that, but I want to go to the actual what he's talking about. Sanctity or sanctify basically deals with exclusiveness, because it speaks of separation. But what Paul is saying is, let us focus on God. And you notice in the King James, and I'm not trying to beat up on the King James, so nobody write me and talk about I'm beating up on the King James. Don't you want truth? We want truth. I can't begin to stand up here to try to explicate or explain something until we actually understand what it's actually saying.
Amen.
Yes, man.
Yes. See, simplicity. That's not what he's saying. Singleness. Everybody says singleness. This is where we're focusing on where things are real.
Right.
Which deals with source.
Mm-hmm.
Which deals with purpose. God's purpose. You're looking at that thing for what it basically in virtuality is representing to you, when the essence of the reality is what God has ordered it for. And that is purpose.
Amen.
Sickness is there for a purpose. God is not sadistic. He just does something and brings some sickness on you just because he has the power to do it, or to make you beg him to remove it. It's for purpose. Paul had to come to understand that.
Sure did.
He begged the Lord 3 times to remove his infirmity. And then God revealed to him the purpose. And after he understood the purpose, that infirmity didn't mean anything anymore.
I hear you. Yes, that's right. Yeah, I hear you. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
He said, Paul, your weakness is going to magnify my strength. Once he understood that, he said, I would much rather glory
in my infirmity.
Yes. Lord, if you don't get glory out of this, turn it on. He said, preacher, you're crazy. God could bring you there. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And so we're not caught up in trials and tribulation to the point that they paralyze us. My life is on hold because I'm looking for this particular thing to be moved. And I'm frustrated and I'm confounded. because it's not happening the way I want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, glory. We got to get out so much of what we want and look at what God wants. And what even more important than that, he gets what he wants, what he has willed. Because that's what it's going to be. For purpose. Now it also depends upon where your priority is. If our priority is in time, we're not going to be happy campers. As soon as one thing goes down and it clears up a little bit, something else comes. You know that word that we used, he gave the definition of maze? It's basically design confusion. But it doesn't have to be confusing. All you have to do is take the goggles off.
Amen.
And focus beyond that. Which is seemingly giving you some communications. Mm-hmm. This is where you are. You are more in the body of Christ.
Right.
Than you are in these bodies. Not with man. What is he doing each day?
Perishing.
What about inwardly?
Renewing.
He's getting stronger as as the flesh gets weaker, the spirit gets stronger. Because the flesh is deteriorating. And everything in that matrix is decelerating. It's in a process. And sooner or later, it's gone.
I hear you.
But that has nothing to do with your welfare. It's not true. Let's just tear these. You know, ministering has gone into era of ministering. I guess it always has been there. When we rate and assess God based upon our everyday affairs,
we
assess him based upon what's in the matrix. What's on the grid? We assess him based upon how well we fare through the disorders.
I hear you. Amen.
God heals my body. Oh, he's great. Woo. If he doesn't, well, I don't know. Why he won't take care of this problem? You know why? He has already taken care of it. I mean, you know what? You know what? He is already taken care of it.
Amen.
It's done.
Amen.
It's done.
Amen.
No matter how much we look around and it looks like it's not done, when we look in the scripture, it says it's done. Now, what is you going to believe? What you see as you look around or what's in the Word of God? Because if that's not going to be the case, of we're wasting time here to just go out. And of course, the worst thing you can do is to go into where they're ministering and telling you that these are five steps of ways and so forth and so on. Everything in the matrix is about process. And what we need to focus on is purpose. So here we're dealing with singleness and sincerity as it is focused on God. Keep reading.
Not.
You see that word not? Every time I see that. Here we have the word there. Ook. That means don't go there.
That's right.
That means don't go there. Not. Everybody said not.
Not.
Not in what?
Not in wisdom fleshly.
Not in word of fleshly wisdom.
But
where?
In grace of God.
Now where are our instructions in the grace of God? in the grace contract.
Yes. Yes.
In the essence of what God has given us as our directives and instructions. And because it doesn't seem to make sense in the so-called physical practical sense, many won't preach it. And even some scholars that do these translations, they get to a point where they figure they're going to err. They're going to err on the side of sensibility and practicality. No. That really couldn't mean that. That doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make physical and secular and human and mental sense, that mostly probably should give you the indication that that's what it really is. You know, in the Old Testament, he said, my ways are what?
Not your
ways. And my thoughts are what?
Not your thoughts.
And so how we view things are different from how they are. In most instances. Finish reading that, Brother Deacon. I see I'm not going to get...
Not in fleshly wisdom, fleshly, but in grace of God, mm-hmm. we behaved in the world.
I see that. Look. You see that word said, not in humanly or worldly wisdom, but in the wisdom that comes from your contract, the grace of God.
Right.
Now notice what he said here. We behaved. That is the Greek word anistrophime. Anistrophime. But Deacon, you got your... Aorist, indicative, what?
Passive.
Which means that it is God that will cause you to focus on Him and not on the world and live like you're focusing on Him.
That's right.
We're not able to do it ourselves. That's the passive. Is that the passive voice?
Passive voice.
Passive voice. Then in relationship to it, he finishes up and he says what? More especially with you.
More especially and with you.
Mm-hmm. So our ministry is not about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're telling you is not about ourselves. No wonder Festus, as Paul was before Agrippa, thought he was crazy. He said, stop this, stop it. He said, Paul, your knowledge has made you crazy. This is insane. This doesn't make sense. You know, we love to say that. This doesn't seem right. That's human wisdom. You cannot expect what's in your contract to align with human wisdom. Again, we're not looking at the things what? But what? Things not being seen. Well, I don't understand it. Well, it just seems to me like, stop. In the Old Testament, thy word is a what? And it's a light, because the light comes from the Lamb, and it what? So I don't walk according to human wisdom, which is darkness. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to kind of come to a close. Now, I've been ill all week, and I'm going to bring it to a close. But take this with you. That the essence of your life is more about what you're involved with. The purpose of God focuses on eternality. God's eternal intentions. You know why we don't understand? It's because we got this thing all mixed up and messed up in our mind. How it works, or how it should work. He is the potter. We're the clay. He's the creator. We're the creatures. He set the agendas. We don't determine what happened. But be encouraged. Because you are a vessel of his mercy. And a vessel of his love. And things work together for good. For you, not against you. The essence of life is that the bottom line is we're safe. We're safe. If you don't believe you're safe, then stop saying you're saved. The advantage of salvation is safety and security. But you won't get it in looking into the matrix. You won't get it in looking to what we call life. The security and safety is in eternal life. It's not in physicality. It's in spirituality. It's not in time. It's in eternity. Oh, y'all on him in this morning. And you look past what we're going through now. Because it's short.
Amen.
You know, what does temporary mean? Not long. And once we understand this, we can truly sing the song. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste! Because I'm looking at you. Oh, my God. Oh. Heaven divine. I'm there.
Yeah.
Here we are walking around here saying, dissatisfied. Saying we're saved, and of course, thank God, what we feel doesn't give the reflection of our salvation.
Right.
But we don't feel safe. We're just as messed up as the world.
I hear you. Yes, we are. I hear you.
We're just as unsettled as the world.
I hear you.
Yes. Our lives are no better organized than those that don't know him. What is the value of knowing him if you're going to be as unsettled as the person that doesn't know him?
I hear you.
Oh, I hear you. We're heirs of God. And joint heirs of that which belongs to Christ. We are sons of God, having been placed in the body of Christ in eternity, before time. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. What? Part of his spirit. I came into existence through his spirit. And there's no danger because I'm washed in his blood. And so as I go to my seat, we can sing, this is my story. Everybody said, this is my story.
This is my story.
This is my song. Your song is your testimony. Doing what? As he starts this off, he speaks of the boasting of the bragging, of the rejoicing, praising. What is that a praising for? We just talked about it. You and air. You have everything that you could ever want in the essence of true life. Oh, I know there's some things that we pray for here and we want here and so forth and so on there. But you know what? If you don't get these things, don't let that be will control your conscience. Don't let your joy be in the things around you. It's in Jesus. And be like this. You can do without anything but Jesus. And you already have him. And in having him, we're rejoicing. We're rejoicing. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't God great? Isn't he awesome? Isn't he marvelous? Isn't he supreme? Oh, give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise.